This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Figuring out how to spend Uncle Sam's money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Today's the day President Bush is set to push Congress to start sending him spending bills for the 2008 fiscal year. Seeing as how the government's financial year begins next Monday, that would be a good idea. So far, the House and Senate have yet to reach a consensus on any of the 12 appropriation bills that run the federal government. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington it's likely to be a long week.
When they took over Congress in January, Democrats promised to do a better job of approving spending bills. The House and Senate are close to agreement on four, maybe five of the bills, but the White House is threatening to veto every one of them as budget busters. Stan Collender, who writes the Budget Battles column for National Journal, says he's looking for a game of chicken this week.
The president threatening to veto every bill, or virtually every bill that came out of Congress on appropriations, meant that Congress had to reevaluate the politics and think about how it wants to do it. And it looks like their decision is to hold everything till the very last minute and send them a bunch and then dare them to veto those.
Congress is facing another deadline. The government's authority to borrow is running out, and the Senate must go through the embarrassing task of voting to give the Treasury permission to borrow another $850 billion for a total federal debt of $9.8 trillion. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Today could be the day the United Auto Workers strike if they don't sign a deal with GM. 11 a.m. Eastern is the cutoff time. Negotiations have been underway for 20 days straight. The largest cement maker in the U.S. is actually a Mexican company called Cemex, and it just announced a deal to build a $400 million plant in northern Arizona, not too far from the Grand Canyon. From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Arizona needs cement. It's one of the fastest growing states in the country, which has led to shortages. The new plant will produce 1.9 million tons of cement a year. That's almost the same amount Arizona currently brings in from Mexico and California. Gordon Hansen's an economics professor at University of California, San Diego. He says Cemex has transformed itself from a small Mexican firm to a global powerhouse. After forays in Europe and Asia, he says this new plant in Arizona is like Cemex building in their backyard.
Cemex is not looking at the border as a dividing line between its markets. It's trying to serve the southwestern U.S. market and the northern Mexican market as a single entity.
Cemex will build its plant near Seligman, Arizona, population 800. Construction will last 3 years and create 700 jobs. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Walmart is doing more of the green thing. The Financial Times says today the retail giant will ask its suppliers to measure and report their greenhouse gas emissions. It's the biggest effort to get emissions reports from businesses.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually, and working for an energy-independent America. publictransportation.org. And by Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics. Siemens, 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America.
Wall Street has had the weekend to sober up after the giddiness inspired by the Fed rate cut last week. Thanks to the actions of the Fed, the Dow and the S&P closed out the week with its best since late March. The Dow up 2.8% for the week, same for the S&P. The Nasdaq rose 2.7%.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
So maybe Wall Street fared well after the news from the Fed, but commentator Alan Sloan says everything else out there is still gloomy.
Well, let's assume you actually have a net worth, which I'm sure you do because, you know, you work for public radio and you're a prudent person. The dollar has fallen out of bed relative to currencies. The price of oil and gold and various other what they call hard assets has risen, which means someday there'll be a price to pay for this. And finally, the fact that long-term interest rates have risen, I think, as a result of this Fed short-term cut.
So you're saying basically that the Fed rate cut amounts to a de facto bailout. Why does the Fed do it?
Because nobody wants to preside over what's called in the trade a systemic failure. They're afraid of a credit crunch, of institutions failing.
But isn't it bad if one big financial institution fails? Wouldn't that have a cascading effect on me as a little guy? Isn't the Fed acting honestly in doing this?
If you ever sat down with any of these people off the record and poured a few beers into them, they'll tell you that their job is to protect the financial system. Their job is not to protect Lisa Napoli and Alan Sloan, no matter how wonderful we are and worthy. Mm-hmm. And when push comes to shove, the Fed is going to blink. And again, they solve the short-term problem, but the long-term problem of crazy financial things going on and speculation, it doesn't stop because it gets rewarded.
Meanwhile, Alan, everybody keeps asking me, what's happening in the economy right now? A human every day working in the United States right now. Do I need to be worried about what I'm hearing us talk about on Marketplace and reading what you write about?
I hate to sound like some crazed socialist because I'm really a capitalist at heart, but every statistic you look at about what has happened to the average employed person over the past few years, at the average employed person has stagnated or done badly. And that's, I think, the obvious reason why the stock market has done well. And the Fed is not going to let the economy fail, okay? But every time they save the economy, they kick more and more problems down the road and they come back and bite us bigger and bigger.
Alan Sloan is senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.